Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's gone 36 minutes past the hour of 10. Alhamdulillah, the Sunday morning, once again, Radio Islam returns to our very important and our very constructive, our very famous panel discussions. And the aim of these panel discussions is to generate some constructive discussions around various amount of topics. Alhamdulillah, today we have a very interesting topic that we will be discussing, inshallah. My name is Ahmed Waja, and inshallah, I will be hosting this panel discussion for this week. It is the first time that I am actually hosting a panel discussion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for me, make it easy for the people that we will be having this discussion with. And most importantly, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this discussion that we are having a fruitful discussion, one in which we can benefit and one in which we can learn. We can learn more about our deen, better how to practice our deen, and inshallah, most importantly, how we can become better Muslims. We find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us in different shu'ub, different qabail, different tribes, and different tribes and nations. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us in different communities and societies. In order for these communities and for these societies to prosper and become successful, it depends on the individuals that make up these communities and these societies. And in this, amongst these individuals, a very, very crucial point for these individuals to live in harmony is the amount of respect that they will show to each other. And that is what we are going to be discussing today, is a very important topic, the topic of teasing and mocking. My guest on this program, firstly, we would like to welcome the guest on the program, Maulana Fayaz Asfat from Springs. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, shukr yourself, Maulana.
Alhamdulillah, I'm well. And I hope all the listeners on Radio Islam are also well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all happy and make us all successful, inshallah.
Ameen. JazakAllah for those du'as, Mawlana. Our second guest on the program is Mawlana Imran Khamisa. Mawlana is from Port Shepson. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And to the other esteemed guest on the panel, Salam to him as well, and to the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam.
JazakAllah for that, Mawlana. How are you keeping this week?
Shukran, alhamdulillah. Allah has been kind. We can't thank Allah enough for his wonderful favors and bounties upon us.
Definitely, most certainly. To Mawlana Fayaz as well as Mawlana Imran, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them in abundance on a Sunday morning. At this time, families are normally busy getting together and doing different things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them in abundance that on the Sunday morning they have taken out their time and they are prepared to share with us some of the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them with in discussing this very important topic. Ma, we're going to start off and go straight into the topic. We know that teasing has become part of communication nowadays, and we find that it just gets done. It's done all the time. It helps people to say things that they wouldn't normally say, and basically it just softens the blows of brutal honesty. As with most things, we often get caught up in the surface content of teasing, and we rarely ever get to think about the deeper intentions or even the meanings of sometimes the jokes and the statements that we pass, the mockery, the teasing. So, Mawlana, to start off the discussion, I think we'll start off with Mawlana Fayaz. Mawlana, to start off the discussion as an introduction to the topic, what does the Quran and Hadith tell us about teasing? We know we have been taught that whenever a topic comes about, the first thing that we refer to is Quran and Hadith. So the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the noble words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Hadith Pak of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what does this have to say with regards to teasing and mocking?
Okay, Mawlana, to start off, as we know that, like you mentioned before, that everything that we need in our life, whatever solution we need in our life, we need to resort to the Quran and Sunnah. And inshallah, through this, we will be successful. With regards to this, that is teasing, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention that, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّنْ قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّنْ نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا كن خيرا منهن ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان ومن لم يتوب فأولئك هم الظالمون. The translation of this above ayat is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْ you who believe, not let a group scoff at one at another, meaning that not let one group of people scoff or make fun of one another. It may be that the latter are better than the former. It may be such that the person that you are mocking or teasing may be much better than you. Nor let some woman scoff at other women. It may be that the latter are better than the former. Nor defame one another, nor insult one another by calling one another nicknames. How bad it is to insult one's brother after having faith. That is after you call someone your Muslim brother or a person is a faithful believer. To call such a people or to call such a person, oh sinner or oh wicked one, it is indeed bad. And whomsoever does not repent, then such are indeed al-zalimin. That is the wrongdoers or al-zalimun, the wrongdoers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here totally forbids us from making fun of one another, from ridiculing one another, mocking one another, teasing one another. The reason being is that because we do not know what each person's sight is in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what each person's status is in the sight of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should not mock at someone who has become the friend of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead, we should rather ask them for their du'as. And in fact, every single human being has been honored by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and more so those who have faith, those who have iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has indeed honored one of them. It is not all of them. It is narrated by Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and he said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said, and while he was in Mina, and he said, and he addressed the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala an, that do you know what day it is today? They replied, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger know better. He replied, today is the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, the sacred, that is the forbidden day. And then he said, do you know what town is this? They, the people, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala replied, that Allah and his messenger know better. He said, this is the sacred town Makkah, meaning a sanctuary. And then he says, and do you know what month is this? They, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, replied to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said, Allah and his messenger know better. He said, this is the sacred month. He then added, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then further stated, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made your blood, your property, and your honor sacred to one another. That is, all Muslims, their honor is absolutely sacred in the sight of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the sanctity of this day of yours, in this month of yours, in this town of yours. So from this we can see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has indeed honored one and all, and more so particularly Muslims because of their iman, because of their faith in Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So at no time should we try and mock, ridicule or belittle any one of our Muslim brethren.
Jee Mawlana, very, very important discussion there. And as the Quran, the Hadith is very, very explicit in curbing people from doing this. As Mawlana has explained, that Hadith, Quran, etc., has made it very, very clear that in no way will this be allowed. We know the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, as Mawlana has explained, the Hadith there, a very important date in the calendar of Islam. And it was on this great date that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he had the Sahaba in front of him, and there were many, many pertinent advices that he gave, one was this very important topic that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam touched on, that we should not overlook, or we should not downgrade anybody, we should not look down upon any person. Moving over to Ma Imran, Malana, sometimes people often do get into making jokes. Now, does Islam allow humor? Does Islam allow jokes? And when we look at the seerah, the beloved life of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, are there any examples of this?
See, Alhamdulillah, firstly, I think Mawlana Fayyaz has brought in the most appropriate ayat and a hadith concerning the fact that where Islam draws the line in terms of joking, and in terms of people take going on the wrong side and to the extent of mocking. But in terms of the response to your particular question about is there any allowance for it at all? Does Islam allow any humor, allow any joke? And are there any examples found in the seerah? Looking at that way, we need to understand that the deen is a complete deen. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this deen of Islam. And in this deen of Islam, a person wouldn't feel there's unnatural limitations to him. You know, it's a deen that gives you the kind of completeness. You don't, Islam does not encourage a person to be like a person who is in a, like a monk, who is totally away and aloof from society completely. That's not required. That's not what is demanded from us. Neither are we asked to basically lead such a life that we are so carefree, we don't worry, and we have no command or restrictions upon the things that we say and the things that we do. But beautifully, the deen is وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We have made you a moderate nation, and in this, there is this middle path. And in this we find in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know he had come as a Nabi of Allah. We know he had come as a Rasul of Allah. We know he had come as a leader. We know he had come as a warner. We know he has come as a legislator. And with all these various important, huge roles that he has come with, but he also showed us how to be a father, how to be a grandfather, how to be compassionate. And even in terms of his life, we find that there have been light moments with him and his companions, with him and his wife, and with him and others who were around him. So what we see in this is that, yes, there is a place for some kind of humor. There is a place for some kind of fun. And if you look at the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I mean, it is mentioned that one person came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he wanted a camel. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have a child of a camel for you, right? This person came with a camel, and he said, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have for you waladun naqa, I have a child of a camel. So the person said, ma asno bi waladin naqa, what can I do with the child of a camel? The Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded to him and said, "Hal tabil talid al-ibil illa an-nuk," that a camel only gives birth to another camel. So every camel that you find is a child of another camel. So in this way, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had this retort with this particular Sahabi. And if you look at the words of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had mentioned things which were ambiguous, right? Which would have could be taken in two ways. And that way, it made it some kind of fun for him. He could have just given the person the camel like that, but he just didn't give it to him. But he told him to be in conversation with him for a longer time. And you'll find that in many of these instances, that the person who was talking to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became closer to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, another example, since Mawlana has asked concerning examples from the seerah, there was a sahabi who had come from was a Bedouin, and he came, his name was Zahir, and he used to trade in metal objects. So once the Prophet ﷺ was going past the bazaar, and people were saying, who'll buy this, who'll buy this, who'll buy that? So he grabbed hold of Zahir from behind him, and he said, who'll buy the slave? Who'll buy the slave? And when he did that, now first Zahir wasn't sure who was behind him, right? He wasn't sure who was behind him. And then he said, O Messenger of Allah, whoever buys the slave will be at a loss. Whoever buys the slave will be at a loss, because this person was such a person, Zahir. He was very short. He didn't have any attractive looks, right? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just did this just to play with him, to have fun with him, right? And when he experienced this, and he found the Prophet so close to him like that, it is said that he just put his body against the Prophet and enjoyed the companionship and the closeness of the Prophet. And Nabi replied to him when he said, whoever buys the slave will be at a loss. When Nabi smiled and replied, in Allah's eyes, your value is very high. So some things, a person may think, okay, it's such a childish thing to do. But with the Prophet, it wasn't really that. It was to talk to the person, to get the person closer to him, a kind of endearment. Even when the other famous story comes concerning the lady, the old lady who had come to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and told him that Udu Allah Ta'ala ayyudkhilani al-jannah, that make dua to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Allah will put me to Jannah. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told her, Inna al-jannah la tadkhuluha ajuz, that Jannah is such a place that old ladies can't go. Old ladies can't go to Jannah. So then she began crying. Right? Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained to her, and he read for the ayah, Inna ansha'nahunna insha faja'alnahunna abkara uruban atraba, that when we create them a new creation and we made them into young people, and those young, when you go to Jannah, only those, whoever goes into Jannah will be in that state of age when they are young. So even in that also, they were amused with this kind of retort. So the Prophet ﷺ, if you look at his life itself, in the matter of seriousness he was that Nabi who was told, Ya ayyuhar rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik, O Messenger of Allah, you convey what has been revealed to you from your Rabb. Right? And in that, all that seriousness that there was, and they would have been in terms of the responsibility that he had. But he had time to joke with the Sahaba, to say something explaining to this old lady about this particular Sahabi who wanted a camel. So in these few ways, he did joke with him. But he did mention, says that, إِنِّي لَأَمْزَهُ وَلَا أَقُولُ إِلَّا حَقًّا, that I joke with you, but I only say that which is true. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even in his jokes, he did not speak a lie. But what we find in this, and there are many other incidents as well, that where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to talk to people, smile at them, have this kind of harmonious relationship. It wasn't being totally serious, you know. There is only a work. It was task-centered. Everything was just a matter of, you know, full of tension. You know, this is a great Nabi, the final Nabi, coming with a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran is being revealed to him. His life is, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ سُدْرٌ حَسَنًا. There is for you in the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a beautiful example. To see here, to show the example to the rest of mankind. In that, he showed us that there is a place for humor. Humor with his wives, it's another topic on its own. Humor with the people around him, whether it's a person who was poor, people generally looked down upon, he gave them some kind of status, and he brought them close to him. So if you look at the seerah, and we look at the guidelines that are there, we find that when it comes to this, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did engage in this, and what was the purpose behind it? That the person could become closer to him, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had this kind of rapport relationship with them, that he was able to have this kind of discussion in a very light-hearted manner, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So, alhamdulillah, what we have learned thus far is that if you look at the seerah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were times when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam shared some humor, shared some jokes, but as Malana had very beautifully explained, that never ever was the intention of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam to hurt anybody's feeling or to do anybody down. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam rather made these, shared this humor or made some light-hearted jokes. And the purpose of this was rather to bring people more closer to him. So, Mafayaz, now back to you. You know, as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam shared some humor and made some jokes, but certainly there must be some guidelines when it comes to joking around.
Yes, definitely. You know, alhamdulillah, we have Islam with us, and it is a religion that we practice upon. And as Maulana Imran, my colleague, alluded to, that it has a guideline for everything, and in every walk, in every facet of our life, we need to be following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the key to everything. And he shows us that throughout his entire life, that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a very light-hearted person. He would smile and joke with his companions. But remember, there are guidelines to follow according to the sunnah when it comes to joking, laughing, and having fun. We should make sure that we don't make any fun or we poke fun on any aspect of Islam. Jokes should not involve any verses from the Quran, Hadith, nor any of the fundamentals of Islam. You know, unfortunately in today's times we see people, they tell jokes about verses of the Quran, they relate jokes about the prophets of the angels, they make fun of the hijab, the beard, etc. And this is the most dangerous thing a person can do. And it could also lead to kufr even if you are only joking. Shaykh Husaymin once made mention that one who mocks Allah, his verses, his signs or his messengers is a disbeliever, because this action nullifies belief. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also made mention that a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would utter a word without paying attention to it, which would result in him going down in the hellfire. Further than that, the distance between the east and the west. So in other words, he would remain very, very far. So the sister in niqab is not a ninja. We should not poke fun because that's part of Islam. Nor the person who shortens his pants or lengthens his beard. They are not nerds. So we should realize and understand whatever they are doing is all part of Islam. So we should never ever poke fun at any of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nor should we make jokes about something which is haram, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared it haram. So we should never ever see someone as he did something haram, call someone either gay, or call someone that this person is high today, or this person has committed sin. We should forget that these are the things that we should realize and understand, that these are the things which are in the which are worse in the sight of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it brings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a wrath and curse. And they are certainly not things to joke about. We should not make fun of people, as Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam respected all people. And he would never even make fun of those who were his enemies. We should only say that which is true. We should not lie or relate a story which has fabrication or lies in it as just to get a laugh or giggle out of people, because this is what Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to prohibit us from doing. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to joke, but he would only speak the truth. Someone asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you joke with us? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, I do, but I only say that which is true. So if it's joking involves any type of lying or any made up stories, then it is not allowed. We should not make fun of people, as I mentioned. We shouldn't laugh if someone slips or falls or is afflicted with something, some type of disease, etc. When someone is in misfortune or someone is going through difficulty, then we should not poke or fun of anyone. And our joking, our laughing, etc. should not involve any type of backbiting. We should not ever joke about others when they are not even there. If you think that they wouldn't mind, as it would involve backbiting, we should realize and understand that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that backbiting is your mentioning about your brother something that he dislikes. So we do not know, that person is not with us, so we cannot see his expression. So we should not speak anything, make fun of anyone, talk and joke about people who are not in our presence. And lastly, I would like to say that we should not use inappropriate language. You know, some people resort to immoral or obscene language when joking around, even though under normal circumstances they would not even thinking of using such words. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mention, the Muslim does not slander, curse, speak obscenely or speak rudely. So we should try and keep our jokes free from all of the above which I just mentioned, inshaAllah.
JazakAllah, Alhamdulillah, Malana had touched on some very, very important topics, and I think one thing that we need to stress upon is, as we said, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, as he was even told in the Quran that if he had to be ghalid, and you know, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to be hard-hearted, faddal qalb, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was this type of hard-hearted person, Sahaba were going to run away from him. And therefore Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at various times displayed humor. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shared some light-hearted jokes of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. But I think it's very important to note is both Maulana Fayaz and Maulana Imran had both stressed on the point that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even when he shared humor, he never ever lied. This is a very, very important point, that we are taught that as a Muslim, no matter what you do, no matter what you have to say, don't ever lie. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said something to the effect that if you have to move a mountain, then move a mountain, but do not ever lie. So this is one point that we should always keep in mind, that sometimes we want to share humor, we want to make some jokes, maybe with friends, maybe with associates, people that we know, but it's very, very important that we keep this in mind, don't ever lie. And a very important, another point that Maulana touched on, is we should never ever use abusive language, we should never ever use foul language, even if we are having some jokes. Sometimes some people feel that, you know, it's a light-hearted moment, so I can use some inappropriate words, some terms that, you know, we wouldn't normally use in front of elderly people, but this is very, very important, that even if we are sharing some jokes, we should be staying away from this. Mafiyaz, Ma Imran, unfortunately, we have run into the time for the news now. I think we'll go for the news break, and after the break, we'll be back.
Sure.
Muhammad, 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 dil mein ishq e nabi ki ho aisi lagan, dil mein ishq e nabi ki.
Radio Islam, your alternative news source.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yawm al-Ahad, 10th of Dhul-Qa'dah, 1437, corresponding to Sunday, the 14th of August, 2016. With your 11 a.m. news on Radio Islam, I am Ahmed Waja. The ANC in the Eastern Cape says it has noticed a trend as some of its senior leaders are being targeted and killed in politically motivated attacks. In the latest incident, former Mshlonto Municipality Council Speaker Solile Malangeni and his wife Thelma were gunned down at their home in Solo on Thursday. Since October last year, there have been at least 22 politically motivated killings across the country. Malangeni was stabbed for his senior executive position in the Mshlonto Council, but on Thursday night he was shot dead. He's the second ANC member to be killed in less than a month in the province. Nsiba Diwili, who was a ward candidate in the Nelson Mandela Bay Metro, had been gunned down last month. The ruling party's Mlibo Kobushiani says it appears party members are being targeted.
We have been observing this new tendency of eliminating leaders and candidates of the ANC, and there was already an established special task to deal with this matter.
Solile Nkompela, the secretary of the ANC's OR Tambo region, of which Malangeni was a member, has also had several attempts on his life. In December, Kompela's bodyguard was killed in a hit. It's believed the bullet was intended for Kompela. Meanwhile, as the ANC's National Executive Committee concludes its four-day kotla today, its immersion internal report warned the party of its possible poor performance at this year's local government elections. The report, compiled more than a year before the elections, indicated that the ANC had been warned that it would perform dismally unless certain measures were put in place. The City Press is reporting that the ANC's top six was aware that it would lose support in the polls due to widespread dissatisfaction with the party and its leaders. The report apparently suggested that the party focus on delivering services to the poor and that it behaved firmly with misbehaving leaders who undermined the party's credibility. The ANC has held a brave face since its disappointing outcome at the 2016 local government elections, with COSATU and the Umkhonto weSizwe Military Veterans Association among its allies who have remained firm in their support for President Jacob Zuma. The paper says the report was presented to the top six, who kept it secret from lower party structures for fear of demoralizing the party's volunteers. The South African Union of Students says it plans to have a march to major financial institutions to demand that they play a bigger role in the higher education sector. The union has rejected a recommendation made by the Council on Higher Education for the implementation of an across-the-board inflation-related fee increase next year. The council says implementing a 0% fee increase again next year won't be sustainable for the sector. The South African Union of Students says the public sector is one of the biggest beneficiaries of the higher education system and therefore should assist government with funding. The union's Avela Chajubana.
Private sector benefits from graduates with the institutions that are funded by government. So private sector must not act as a parasite in this issue here.
Chajubana says the union plans to march to the JSE and the Chamber of Mines to demand more involvement from them in the funding of higher education. Moving abroad, an imam of a masjid in New York City and his associate have been shot dead while walking along together following afternoon prayers. The men were approached by a man from behind who shot both in the head on Saturday in the Ozone Park neighborhood of Queens. Police say no arrests have been made. The victims, identified as 55-year-old Imam Molana Akunji and 64-year-old Tarauddin, were both wearing religious garb at the time of the shooting. The New York Times reported that Akunji was carrying more than $1,000, but the money was not taken. Members of the Bangladeshi Muslim community served by the masjid say they want the shootings to be treated as a hate crime. In the financial market, the rent rates at 13.47 to the dollar, 17.37 to the pound, and 15.04 to the euro. The Saudi riyal is 3 rands, 59 cents. Brent crude oil, $47.8 a barrel. Gold rates at $1,335, 92 cents. Mahre Fatimi, 13,242 rand, 29 cents. The Zakat Nisab is 5,296 rand, 91 cents. Salah times for Johannesburg, Sawal Sassin at 12:13 PM, Asar Shafi times at 3:24 PM, Hanafi times at 4:11 PM, Maghrib Sassin at 10 to 6, Isha at 7:06. Salah times for Durban, Sawal Sassin at 12:01, Asar Shafi time is at 3:08, Hanafi times at 3:53, Maghrib at 5:34, and Isha at 7:08. To recap your top story, the ANC in the Eastern Cape says it has noticed a trend as some of its senior leaders are being targeted and killed in politically motivated attacks. From the news desk at Radio Islam International, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Start off with you. you know, by nature, human nature is such that we all love to laugh, we all love to have a good time. But very importantly, are there any consequences of excessive joking and excessive laughing?
Gee, alhamdulillah, even in that, I think the operative word is excessive joking and laughing. And again, as the deen of Islam is that balanced deen, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this deen, there are certain important things to do, and there's a place for a few other things as well. So now, when we are given this kind of guidelines, we understand that this part of joking shouldn't go beyond the bounds. In fact, in one hadith actually mentions that وَلَا تُكْثِرِ الدِّحْكِ فَإِنَّ كَثَرَ الدِّحْكِ تُمِدُ الْقُلُوبِ, that don't laugh too much, don't laugh excessively, because excessive laughter kills the heart. And once the spirituality is killed, then the purpose of life is gone, because وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, the purpose of our creation is that to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if everything becomes a joke, then people wouldn't take life seriously at all. So there is a place for joking, there is a place for laughing, but in terms of excessiveness, the limits are drawn. And this is quite easy to understand. I mean, it's very simple, because, you know, if a person is joking all the time and he wants to laugh all the time, he wouldn't be serious. Now, you want to give him some serious message, and even on that serious message, he takes it as a joke, it becomes an issue. So, in terms of the person himself, he's joking about everything, and in people telling him something wouldn't make sense, because he's not making sense of the message that is given to him. He is thinking about how he can turn that into a funny line. The second thing is, the person himself who jokes too much and laughs too much, right? When will people take that person seriously and understand, now this is something serious, now it's not jokes, now I'm serious, you know? Then, because everything is so light-hearted, people may not know that this person is quite serious now. You know, they'll probably ask him to make a say qasam or tajz al-Qur'an or this or that, because they don't take his word anymore. Then you find also, you know, a person, you know, excessive of laughing and joking, you know, it's become common now. People don't sit for comedies, watch TV programs where you can just laugh a minute, and you got stand-up comedians, and, you know, if that's your life where you just like to listen to comedies, listen to jokes all the time, then how is that heart going to be prepared for a bayan in the masjid, going to be prepared for an important message from Quran, for a lesson from tafsir, something to think about in the seerah? How is the heart going to be prepared for something like that? So again, like everything else, Islam allows certain things, but if it's done excessively, it goes beyond the bounds. If we don't know our limits, then we'll actually lose the plot. We lose the plot. And just to summarize that part of it, one is, you wouldn't take any message seriously, number one. Number two, people won't take you seriously. And number three, time will be wasted into something that's so frivolous, unimportant. In terms of the important things that we had to spend our life with, we wouldn't be able to do that. As it's nicely put in English and even in Arabic saying concerning it, is that, you know, jokes and light-hearted moments should be like salt in the food. You know, you don't put more salt than the food itself. It's just there to give it that taste, to make it pleasant, to make it palatable, right? So in that way also, we find, as far as joking is concerned, as far as laughing is concerned, you can have the occasional laugh, the occasional jokes, but that shouldn't be the thrust of everything that you do, because we're not here for that. You know, as the hadith also mentions, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقول خيرا أن يصمت. Whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last day should speak that which is good or remain silent. So in terms of whatever we utter, I mean, that also we know, whatever we utter, whatever word is mentioned, that ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد, that there's an angel recording everything. And how much of my good is being recorded, and how much of my just frivolous pursuits are just being a time gone by, and sometimes it just leads to evil. Because once this becomes a habit in me,
then I only think in those lines in terms of wanting to do outwit this person or outsmart that person and put a better comment there and start thinking about this, thinking about that, then in terms of the plot, in terms of where we are going, we tend to lose focus. So again, the beautiful deen of Islam, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ مُتَّوَسَطًا, we have made you into a nation that is moderate. Allah Fadl has shown us that you do what you have to do, and there is space for the light moments and light jokes, but that shouldn't be what your whole life, 24 hours, revolves around. It's just a portion, it's just an aspect, it's just a fraction of the time that you have, and not everything. It's something, but it's not everything.
See, alhamdulillah, so we learned that the consequences of excessive joking and excessive laughing are definitely serious, and it is something that we certainly should keep in mind when we want to get involved in this. As our ulama had explained to us, that it is permissible to an extent. We can laugh, we can joke, the guidelines have been given, but when it becomes excessive, that is when it definitely is going to become a problem. It's going to become a problem for us personally in our own capacity and in our own lives, and most certainly it's going to become a problem for us as far as our society is concerned. Mafayaz, as part of our discussion is teasing. Now, is there a difference between teasing and pulling?
Yes, definitely, Malala. As far as teasing is concerned, you know, teasing is generally light-hearted, playful joking around between friends and family, all done on a mutual basis. It is also done with a sense of fun and to create laughter and amusement between people involved. Bullying, on the other hand, is not done playfully or jokingly, but rather hurtfully and negatively. In my opinion, there can be a fine line between the two. Teasing can become bullying if it hurts a person or if it is done with the intention to hurt the other. Teasing becomes bullying when the content of teasing turns from affectionate to hostile. So in other words, 1 minute you may be sitting with your friend or with a family member, etc., teasing one another, but then all of a sudden we may have crossed the limit, and we may have exceeded our limits and went over the line. And then what happens? Instead of us having a fun conversation, instead of us having a good conversation, instead of us being friends, then we may end up being enemies. There is a power imbalance. The person teasing has more power amongst the peers compared to the person being teased. So in other words, what happens if it's a group of people? Then the person who's doing the teasing, he gets all the, as you can say, smiles, chuckles out of one another. Everyone starts applauding him, etc. But that person who's being teased, he is sitting there feeling humiliated, feeling bad about himself, feeling bad about some other things, and he looks at those people who are laughing at him in such a way that, and the thought may cross his mind that he is supposed to be my friend. The teasing occurs repeatedly. In other words, if you start teasing a person over and over and over again, bring up the same thing over and over again, then instead of it being teasing, it becomes bullying. Teasing, if it is done once in a while, then it is teasing. But if it is done over a period of time, and if it is done constantly, then it is obviously bullying. The child who is teasing means to upset or hurt the child being teased. So in other words, if a child decides to tease another child, you know, generally what happens is, amongst adults, we don't really tease one another, but we have a sense of respect with one another. But amongst children, what happens is they start teasing one another. So when you tease someone, if a child teases another child with the intention of hurting the child, then obviously it turns to bullying. And the one being teased is upset or hurt by the interaction. So in other words, if we tease someone and it causes that person to be hurt, or it causes that person to be humiliated, then obviously we have crossed the line from teasing into bullying. And we should keep in mind that some children, boys especially amongst the males, they may not show that their feelings, that they are hurt. You know, generally boys, when we always the tougher ones, we do not want to show males, we always the tougher, we feel that we are the tougher ones, and we do not want to show our feelings, because that we think we are, we do not want to show people we are insecure. So then what happens is we just ignore it, or we just remain silent. And if you are, if a person is hurt through teasing, then obviously what happens is that person will have enmity towards that person whom yet, or who teased him, or who made fun at him, or who started bullying him, etc. So there's a very fine line between the two. So that's why we should always realize and understand, and we should look at the situation we are in before teasing one person. We should look at how they are, what type of situation they are, whether they are happy, whether they are sad. If they have a happy look on their face, then by all means we can tease them. But if they have a sad look on their face, then we should not tease them. We never know. They may just feel offended by that which we have said.
Okay, Jazakallah for that. As we have understood that there is maybe a fine line between the two, but nevertheless we should as far as possible try and stay away from both of them. Maimran, now back to you. Many physiologists believe that teasing, you know, it actually, they say that it actually helps build relationships. Is this idea actually correct?
See, concerning this here, I think Maulana Sayyaz has brought it up quite nicely, even in terms of the question that you have put forward. That, you know, the joking, sometimes things start off very innocently. You know, you're joking, and then you find that somehow in some circles it's used as a form of bullying. You know, you're teasing, and then you're bullying, and eventually the whole thing becomes so unpleasant. What started off as something that was to be shared as a smile, you know, nothing serious, becomes so... there's so much of hostility, as Maulana mentioned, that, you know, you just break up and things like that, and that's really, really dangerous. In terms of the effect on teasing itself, does it help build relationship? In terms of it building relationship, I think it depends in terms of the context that you are in, right? If I love somebody very much, right, and I have an understanding with that particular person, when you say certain things to them, it may not hurt them in any way. You know, you got to understand each other. You know whether this person will take it seriously or not. And the things that you would say, also you shouldn't be so insulting and humiliating in the remarks that you make. You know, the things that you say, you know, just to warm the relationship. You know, you just say teasing somebody, just on a light-hearted note. You see, this husband and wife were not in talking terms, you know, and they were driving past the zoo. So the husband, he wanted to, you know, pass a slight remark at his wife, and he tells his wife, he says, he looks at her on his left, and they can see the zoo there. She also looks there, and he tells her, you got family there? He asks her, you got family there? And she says, yes, my in-laws live there. So sometimes when you're saying certain things, it can come back to you, it can come back, but if it's in a tense situation, it may go even worse, and the fight, produce up to partner kind start fighting, you never know what will happen next. But in terms of, you know, when you are in good terms, when you, you know that things are just to lighten the tensity and the intensity and lighten, the difficulty and the complexity of a situation where you actually you break the kind of tension that is there between husband and wife, and to say something just to bring out a laugh, and people may then just not think about things which are very, very important but very complex. But it may get them to think a bit differently, because sometimes you need that space in terms of your thought. In that, it would be fine. But in terms of, does it build your relationship? Sometimes, you know, you show your affection. You know, a wife with my husband says things like this, and she's fine with it. And sometimes it can be a problem when, you know, you're trying to power play. When a person is teasing, and now, you know, the other one doesn't have an answer, she doesn't know what to do, and then like that, if you notice something like that, and it's going one side only, then it can be very, very dangerous. I don't think that build the relationship, it'll probably break the relationship. Sometimes you want to just liven up a dull conversation, you know, to pass a funny remark or say something. These things do help at times, but again, in terms of context, where you are at that point in time, you know, you just have an argument. It is something very personal. You're talking about the family, about your mother-in-law, about your father-in-law, or about the looks of the person, you know. Some things, you know, sometimes, you know, if you tell a person you're ugly, Can that person change that in any way in terms of their own thoughts? What are they going to do, right? While ugliness is probably just a term, we can't say a person is too pretty or too ugly, beauty lies in the eye of the beholder, and Allah Ta'ala's creation everywhere, created everybody in a particular form, then this person feels so dented, you know. They feel so insignificant, so unimportant, and so humiliated that you make it hard in terms of the kind of remarks that that you say, you know, you're difficult. That is why they say that whenever you are saying that certain things, think about the time when you're going to patch up, you know. Sometimes you say such nasty things, and now when you're patching up, you say, you know, how are you going to apologize for that? How are you going to say that, no, I didn't really mean it? So in terms of the things that we say, and we tease each other, and we play with each other, you know, it's healthy for us to have a relationship where we can talk to each other the way we want to. But the borders Maulana mentioned earlier on, in terms of not insulting, not being vulgar, not being demeaning, I think those are important around this particular concept as well. That sometimes, is there a place? Yes, there is a place, but not in terms of such where, you know, you see it turn towards anger, and it won't bring the person closer to you. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's interaction, in terms of joking and things that he did, at the end of it, the person became closer to him, right? If this is going to distance the person from you, then you stay away from that.
My Imran, Jazakallah for that response, and I think it's very important that, you know, as Maulana said, that we've got to look at the context in which these things are said, you know, what they call mauka shanasi. You know, you've got to see when is a thing said, at what situation is it said, the background of why it is said, who it is said to, and that will obviously help us when we want to share some light-hearted jokes, or, you know, we want to say something light-heartedly. My Imran, if we could just maybe have a few minutes of your time. I do understand My Imran has got some other commitments that you do have to attend to. There's just one situation that we could run through you quickly.
Yeah, sure.
You know, what we find happens is that you'll normally find a group of friends, or what we could call a circle of friends, and they get together from time to time. They have their light-hearted discussions, and they often end up teasing each other. Now, each one in that group, four, five, six of them, they'll tease each other, they'll make jokes of one another, and this will happen until they find a soft target, an easy victim. Once they have spotted in their clique and in their group, they have spotted this easy target and the soft target, then this guy, he now becomes basically like what you could say maybe the dartboard, you know. Now every joke is just aimed at him. And sometimes this can actually become very detrimental, because sometimes this guy distances himself, and because of things like this, you know, he doesn't even want to associate with others, and sometimes it becomes so difficult, and it becomes so harmful, to the extent that this guy maybe doesn't even want to go to the masjid anymore, because he feels that, you know, people are going to see me there, I'm the soft target, any joke that needs to be passed comes to me. He doesn't want to attend functions anymore, he doesn't want to attend any events anymore, because he just feels too hurt all the time. Your comment on this?
Gee, you know, again, in this year, really, with the beautiful invitations and the guidelines of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, where he has mentioned that there's a hadith that I'm sure it's supposed to be appropriate in this particular context, where he says, "Unsur akhaka zaliman aw mazluman," you know, help your brother, the oppressor and the oppressed. So the scenario that you gave, you know, a person is being teased, he's made the butt of the jokes, and the circle of friends, I mean, they're just trampling on him all the time. They found this loose target here, easy victim. You know, we can tell him whatever we feel like. He doesn't say anything at all. And sometimes he just makes them more aloof from others, and they want to stay away. And you rightfully mentioned, I even know of people who actually don't come to the masjid, because once a person actually came to the masjid, you know, after a long time he came to the masjid, and so the people tell him, what happened? You lost your way. Did you lose your way? And how did he feel? You know, what did we see the Eid moon? You know, or is it Jummah today? People ask things like that. And then, in fact, instead of encouraging the person, again, the context we're looking at, that we should be such a community where we are welcoming and we're holding each other's hand. We're bringing each other closer to us and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam connected the Muhajirin with the Ansar, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also connected everybody to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in his hadith he says, "Unsur akhaka zaliman aw mazluman," that assist your brother, the oppressor or the oppressed. So the Sahaba said, "Oh Prophet of Allah, we know how to help the one who's oppressed, but how do we help the oppressor?" He says that أَنْتَمْنَعَهُ مِنْ ظُلْمِهِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, that you stop him, you prevent him from the zulm that he's doing. So in this year, in terms of education wise, those who are bullying, those who are teasing, those who are mocking at others, they also need help. Sometimes we think the victim only needs help. The victim may need some kind of support to how he can overcome these challenges that are facing him all the time. How do you manage this? You know, how do you manage a case of bullying? How do you respond? Should I respond to every remark that the person makes? Should I report to authorities? Or what do I really do? And you give him the kind of support in terms of what he should be doing. But also, those who are actually doing the bullying, those who are actually doing the teasing, they need greater help because they don't see a need in terms of them stopping. You know, they don't understand that it's something I'm going to be answerable to Allah Ta'ala for. I made this person feel bad, and they just carry on, not even worrying about the consequences. And because you've got a few others who are with you, and in a group, a person feels stronger, and he just takes advantage of those who are there. But again, we conscientize ourselves with the teachings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that even that person, imagine Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he mentioned in his, when he had his inaugural speech when he became Khalif, he said that the one that you are weak as long as I have not taken your haq from you, and you are strong on the other side as long as I have provided and created for you whatever is necessary for you. You know, see, the strong amongst you is weak. The strong amongst you is weak until I have taken what is due from him. And the weak from amongst you is strong until I provided for him whatever is necessary for him. So in that we find that Hazrat Abu Bakr anhu, he ensured as a Khalif that the person whose rights have not been fulfilled, that was a shortcoming on his side. So you can imagine when you weaken in a circle of friends, and we enjoy bullying, make a person a part of the conversation, and we make him such that he doesn't want to join us anymore. How does that person feel? Now you even pushed him away from ibadat. You pushed him away from being near the masjid. You pushed him away, although he should be strong enough, you know, he should understand, I'm not doing it for you, I'm doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a human being is a human being, you know. He avoids that kind of company. You know, if I get there, somebody would say something, now one friend makes a remark, the other one wants to make an even nastier remark, you know. And like that, whether you're commenting on the town he comes from, or you're coming commenting on his own appearance, or his habits, or something like that, that makes it very, very difficult. So I think in terms of that, we need to help both parties. The party that is actually doing the bullying, they need to be reprimanded. They need to be told that they will be accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the manner they are treating this particular person. And the person himself, he needs to understand that, you know what, that I shouldn't be worried about these people here. I should be doing things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come to the masjid, you don't lose your contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because the deficiency of them. It's not that they are stronger than you. They are more deficient than you. If a person is bullying you, don't feel he's the dominant person. No. He has some kind of deficiency. That is why he's doing that to you. So like this, you would find that because people feel inadequate, they feel insecure, they try to do certain things. Don't become a victim of that. You fight your own battle. When it comes to things like this, really it's important, and you know, we come across things like this every now and again in terms of the school situation and the community situation, where, you know, people really feel uncomfortable in other people's presence, and, you know, we need to be that warm ummah, you know, a helping hand. You can, a person knows that I'm sitting in a particular person's company, that I know I won't be insulted, you know. I enjoy that kind of space. That I'm there, I will benefit from this particular person. There'll be something good to say. When we leave this particular gathering, I'll feel happier. Even amongst the women themselves, you know, sometimes you feel, I don't want to meet a certain person because she'll pass a nasty remark. I don't want to go visiting because this person says this or this person says that. Why do we want to pass messages like that and say certain things? Make it warm. Ensure that when you actually leave each other's company, that you feel like going back again to visit. You know, sitting down and out after speaking to so and so, I felt so good. And so that you know, because you felt happy, you came back from there, you didn't feel insulted, you didn't feel humiliated. So in terms of the siyah, it's actually very, very important that as far as teasing is concerned, that a person must understand that don't, if you are the person who is the butt of the jokes and the victim in this, be strong. Overcome it, you know. Overcome it. You are not going to stand with these people on the day of Qiyamah. You're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't let it be such that they become a source of your distancing yourself from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You become strong. If that is a company which you're not comfortable with, find another kind of company. Maybe if you are in a workplace, it's difficult because you probably got a job there. But if you have a choice and an option, then you get another circle of friends. And different people you should join. Those who will be there to stimulate you, those who will be there to honor you, those who will be there to encourage you, those who will be there to empower you, those who will be there for you, and who will make you feel happier after meeting them. That's a sign of a true believer. When you meet al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisani wa yadi. The true Muslim is that person who other Muslims are safe from his tongue and from his hand. What better guidelines can there be concerning how I should behave as a Muslim than this particular hadith? Very, very beautiful, alhamdulillah. And sometimes, just to end off, Malana, very quickly.
No problem.
You know, sometimes we think the fault is with the other person, but the fault is within ourselves. You know, we think it's with the other person, but it's within ourselves. On a lighter note, they say there's a husband and wife. This husband, he said, he went to the doctor and he said that he's got a problem with his wife, you know. So the doctor asked him, what's the problem? He says, no, I think she can't hear me. I think she can't hear me. Something wrong with her hearing. So the doctor told him, when you go home, then from 10 meters away, 10 meters away, you must ask her something. Then if you find she doesn't hear, then from 8 meters away, you ask her again. Then from 6 meters away, you ask her again, till you think she finally heard you. So he said, fine. So he goes home, and he says, from 10 meters away, he shouts, what for supper? So he doesn't hear a response. So he goes 2 meters further, from 8 meters away, he says, what's for supper? Then he doesn't hear a response. Then he goes 2 meters further, he says, what's for supper? He doesn't hear a response. Then he comes into the kitchen, comes right by his wife, and he says in her ear, says, what's for supper? She says, for the fourth time I'm telling you, it's curry and rice. For the fourth time I'm telling you, it's curry and rice. Then the person understood, he didn't hear his wife for the fourth time that she answered him. So sometimes we think the problem is with the other person, but the problem is with us.
Okay.
Anyway, this is to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala put muhabbat in our communities. With so much of hatred and animosity that is there, there is some space for this. Today we can make a, just look at a person and make him smile. Huh? لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه طليق. Don't look at anything as insignificant, even if it means smiling at your Muslim brother. Even that is ibadah for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us appreciate this beautiful deen in terms of all its facets. Like this will be true, complete human beings, as the Prophet ﷺ wanted us to be. Life in this earth will be pleasant as well, and akhirah even better, inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq to understand, make amal, and may with the beautiful input by your esteemed guest, mashallah, Mawlana Fayyaz, and the input that you have given, Mawlana, as well. Kindly excuse me, there are other commitments. Allah Ta'ala make this a means of benefiting the Ummah, and may bring people closer together, inshallah. Allah is the Qabul, inshallah.
I mean, Jazakallah, we do excuse you, and Jazakallah for your time, Jazakallah for the very, very, very important advices and wisdom that you have shared with us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of practicing, and Jazakallah for your time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance and reward your family as well. Mali Fayyaz, if you'll allow, if you could maybe just go for a quick break, and we will continue the discussion.
Yeah, no problem, inshallah.
Trend Tap and Tile Ormondi invites you to our newly upgraded and refurbished showroom at 262 Crownwood Road, Ormondi. Come view a wide range of exclusive polished, glazed and full-bodied porcelain tiles in the latest designs and styles from around the world. We stock big brand names in taps and sanitary ware such as Grow, Geberit and well-known imported and local products. For all the latest trends coupled with the best prices and personal service, call Trend Tap and Tile 835-0273-4.
It's Gruffalo time. Buy your sign reader now for just 50 Rand. Clover Long Life Milk Assorted per pack, 6x1 litres, 69 Rand 90. Bokoma Wheat Pix, 450 grams, buy any two for 39 Rand 90. Tastic Long Grain Parboiled Rice, 10 kg, 107 Rand 90. Hewlett's White Sugar, 2.5 kg, 28 Rand 90. Nola Mayonnaise Assorted, 750 to 790 grams, 17 Rand 90. Prices valid from 11 to 14 August 2016.
You know, Fatima Foy, my husband Khalil, he got so much pesa. Oh, ma, do tell Jaitun. Khalil sold the properties in India. Oh, Ya Allah, Ya Khuda, what must do with all that money now, Jaitun? I heard on Radio Islam that Radio Islam is upgrading their studios. Hey, mashallah, so nice work they're doing. Yeah, very good work, Fatma Foy. So, I was telling Khalil to take the money and give it to Radio Islam for this project. Hey, yeah, one time, do a tawab e jariya for your mother. You better do the right thing. Call them now on 011-854-7022.
Radio Islam International, the world is our community.
Would you like to be part of the dynamic Islamic media environment at Radio Islam? Do you have experience or talent to be a presenter, producer, newsreader or content developer? Will your technical or administrative expertise add value to our broadcast environment? If so, please send your CV to smr@radioislam.co.za. That's smr@radioislam.co.za. Radio Islam, the world is our community.
Yo ya no quiero, gracias.
Yo estaba cero por mí, es aquí un buen jugador.
Está bien, me rindo.
No matter where you come from or what language you speak, Berra's Motor Spares is the place to go. We stock motor spares and car accessories of high standards at an impressive price. Years of experience in the motor spares industry ensures that you get the best advice. Berra's Motor Spares, 48 Peter 8th Avenue, Alberton North.
Call us on 011-901-3100.
Attention all traders, supermarkets and spazas. Visit Devlin Cash & Carry for all your deep cut specials on all listed groceries. Distributors of the widest range of household detergents and perishable goods. Open 7 days a week. Devlin Cash & Carry. Call 011-989-8800. Corner Klepkas and Person Road, Devlin.
This year, almost 16 million people in Southern Africa face hunger because of a drought exacerbated by late rains. But Malawi has been the worst hit country with almost 20% of its population affected. Join hands with Jamiatul Ulama South Africa to provide much needed food aid to those on our doorstep. Donate your zakah or lillah funds directly to bank account Jamiatul Ulama South Africa Relief Bank Nedbank Forsberg account number 1953-285-937 branch code 195-305 Jamiatul Ulama South Africa serving Allah by serving His creation.
This is Radio Islam Medium Wave 1548.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. 15 minutes left to the hour of 12. Alhamdulillah, we are having this live panel discussion. Our topic is teasing and mocking. Mafayaz Asfat is our panelist that is still with us. Manana is from Springs. Manana, you are still on the line with us?
Yeah, I'm still here, Manana.
Jazakallah, Manana. May Allah subhanAllah reward you for your time. Manana, one or two points that we're going to take a look at. One topic that comes about, or one point that comes about with regards to this teasing and mocking is that, you know, teasing among spouses is something that cannot be prevented. It often happens, and what should we keep in mind, you know, so that obviously there's got to be a line, although it might be husband and wife, it might be the spouses, there's got to be a line, and that line cannot be allowed to be crossed. And should possibly some boundaries be outlined and be made clear from the onset of the nikah?
Gee, definitely, man. You know, Malana, we look back at our life of, or the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a very cool, collective, calm person. And he was very loving to all his spouses. And Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely fond with her. And it is mentioned a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very loving, he was very affectionate. And he also kept affectionate nicknames. And these are definitely permissible. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself called Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by names other than his actual name. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya ayyuhal mudassir, Ya ayyuhal mudhammil, oh, you wrapped up in a cloth. So if we, with our spouse, we call her a nice, loving name, then we don't see a problem with it. In fact, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself would call his wife Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Humaira, that is the one with pink or the one with red cheeks. At times, he would call her lovingly, oh, Aish. That is, he shortened her name because of the love that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for his wife. So in the same way, in the like manner, if we was our wife in our private time, and we speak to our wives or spouses in a very loving way, or the wife speaks to her husband in a very respectful and loving way, then there's no real problem with it. But teasing is only positive when it takes place within a strong relationship with two people who appreciate the teasing as affectionate. I mean, if you just get married and then you start teasing your wife, I mean, she'll say, what marriage or what type of a person did I get married to? So first, what we need to do is, between husband and wife, the husband needs to win his wife's trust. And the vice versa, the wife needs to win her husband's trust. And then, eventually, as time goes on, they get to know one another, they start loving one another, they cover up the faults of each other, you know, they become the garments of one another. Then, inshallah, if they start calling each other loving names, names which are not derogatory, then there is definitely permissibility with regards to it. A teasing is also positive when the teaser is using it in a joking tone. He uses a joking tone, meaning while teasing, or while calling his spouse a loving name, he has a smile on his face. Or while the wife teases her husband, she has a smile on her face. And her tone also is in a very loving tone. I'm sure you know this also comes after we win each other's trust. We start spending enough time that we know each other's likes, we know each other's dislikes, we know when one person is happy, when our spouse is happy, or when the spouse is sad. So then we can judge their expressions from their face. If they are in a happy mood, then by all means, and we start teasing them, joking them, calling them loving names, then there is no problem with it. And we should make sure that the person who is being teased does not look distressed at all. You know, sometimes what happens is, when we come home, especially the males, when we come home after a long day, and our wife, we think that they do nothing. But in actual fact, they are doing a lot while they are at home. So then they may be so busy looking after the children, preparing the food, keeping the house clean. You know, the whole day goes in so that when we return home, so they can have everything ready. And they may be a bit distressed. So as soon as we come home and we start teasing them, then there may be some type of friction. So first come home, get them relaxed, get the spouse relaxed. Or the other way, the wife get the spouse or her husband relaxed. And then afterwards we can start, once they are relaxed, start teasing one another, talking to one another respectfully, calling each other light-hearted names, then inshallah it will all be within the confines of Sharia, and it will be within, with the love that they mutually have received during their life and during their marriage, and it will be a means of creating more love and more muhabba between the husband and wife, or between the wife and husband, instead of it causing any type of friction between the two of them.
Jazakallah, on a lighter note, you know, the man was being interviewed for a post of the commander in the army, you know. So the person conducting the interview asked him that, you know, he's explaining to him that we're looking for a person with a suspicious mind, the person is always alert, the person is merciless, ready to attack, acute sense of hearing, detective ability, and most importantly, having a killer instinct. So the person then asked him, do you think you are eligible? The person looked down, shook his head, and then raised it and asked, "No, sir, but can my wife apply?"
Well, I won't reply to that just now. I'll be sleeping out.
One or two points. A person is now teased or mocked. How should a person respond?
You know, the best way is to follow once again, the Sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And obviously, the Quranic ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives guidelines with regards to this in particular. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. That, oh, you who believe, be patient and excel in patience. So in other words, be patient and then try to add more patience upon your patience. And remain steadfast as far as your patience is concerned. So you need to really develop a thick skin. And then in addition to that, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you will be among the successful ones, so that you may be among the successful ones. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that if you want to be successful in life, in the year after, etc., develop patience, be more patient above that, and try and add more patience above that as well. And fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshaAllah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then grant you success in this world. So at that time when you are being bullied or called a particular name, etc., try and exercise patience, develop a thick skin. Follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he received Nabuwah from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and many people, the Kuffar, the Quraysh, they did not like what Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing, his practices, etc. They did not like that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leaving the religion of their forefathers and inviting people towards the believing in the oneness of Allah and believing in him as the messenger of Allah. So then what did they do? They started name calling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would call him a soothsayer. They would call him a magician. They call Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all sorts of stuff. And more so in particular, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an entire surah when they started calling Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam abtar. That is a person without descendants. And Mawlana, I'm sure you can explain more to the listeners about this aspect, is that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's three sons passed away in infancy at a very early age. And many of the kuffar, they were worried about Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Islam gaining momentum. So when it came to the insecurities of Islam gaining momentum and prevailing over them, as well as in Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Munawwara, what happened is they started saying that don't worry about Muhammad. You know, this is exactly what a bully does. They feed on their own insecurities and they try and bully others, belittle others as well. So they try to belittle Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by telling him that he's abtar, and do not worry about Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because as soon as he passes away, he has no sons. There will be no one to be the flag bearer of his mission of Islam, etc. So as soon as he passes away, what will happen is that Islam will also come to an end. Now this hurt Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not react, nor did he take any revenge, nor did he curse them, but rather he exercised patience. And he followed this ayat, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the advice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what happened subsequently? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him the greatest honor of all. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on the day of Qiyamah, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be given kawthar, abundant goodness. And part of this abundant goodness is that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would receive a hawthar, kawthar in the year after, whereby millions of his followers will be drinking from that well, from the Mubarak hands of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all among them. In addition to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also indirectly informed Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they mock you being without any descendants or without any living sons, and they say your religion will come to an end, but because of your patience, you will have a multitude of followers on the day of Qiyamah, and they will be regarded as the best of all nations. So they try to mock Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tease Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a bullying way. And because Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exercised patience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed honored Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was then satisfied. So if we exercise patience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us that peace, will give us that serenity, that peace, that tranquility, that the words of that bullying person or that teasing words would not affect us in the least. In addition to that, if we know that person, try and speak to him. Go to them and tell them what you said, I did not like. As Maulana Imran alluded to the point, that help the oppressor as well as the oppressed. So they are doing the oppressing. Go and help them. Tell them what they are doing wrong. They may not be aware of it. And if we inform them that you do not like this, in future they might realize and understand that, okay, if this person doesn't like what I'm saying, maybe there's a whole lot of other people who don't like what I'm saying. So then you are exercising patience, you not approaching that person in a very revengeful way, but rather you're trying to help that person, and then it will be a means of you not just helping yourself, but helping other people as well, inshallah.
JazakAllah, ma'am. Any closing comments?
Any closing comments? You know, Maulana, when this topic was emailed to me, the first thing I said is whatever was said, I have to first apply it and practice it myself. You know, being in school with our learners, you know, sometimes we tend to call them names, nicknames, etc. Especially with regards to me, I don't have a very good memory as far as names is concerned. So I generally give them kind of nicknames or short names. I just hope it's not derogatory, but after speaking of all of this, we'll try and change our ways and try and memorize the names as well, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to practice. As Maulana is saying, you know, sometimes we don't realize what we are saying, we don't realize that what we said could have been hurtful, might have been hurtful. It's very important that we should be cognizant of these things, we should keep these things in mind, and we should mend our ways if we are hurting people. If we are not hurting people, then I don't think it's such a big problem. Ma, we would like to thank you for your time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance for giving us your time and for sharing us with us these words of wisdom. And as we said, most importantly, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of practicing upon the true deen of Islam.
Okay, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant it to us, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let the light of Islam shine through our lives as well, so that we do not hurt anyone's feelings, but rather we gain friends through this beautiful religion of ours, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen. For the listeners, we thank you for listening. With that, we conclude this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.